This is Eshin Akins, and welcome to Two Guys and a Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we returned to Easley Cemetery tonight. Myself, along with my co-host, Jason Akins. We had Paranormal Billy White with us. And again, for 2 weeks in a row, we've had Jared Aaron with us.
Jared, yeah, he has a Facebook page. Jared has this drone, and he takes video and photographs all the time. Does good work with it, and he actually, on his way en route to Easley, kind of put this together, and he did his little drone and did some video, and it was really, really good. And we appreciate him being there with us.
Absolutely, and it was funny pulling up to the cemetery. You know, if you've not been to this cemetery, if you're local and you haven't been there. You go down this long dirt road, which is around strip mining areas.
You've been thoroughly strip mined.
And we pull up, and Jared's standing at the tailgate of his truck, drinking out of a Red Solo cup.
Yeah.
Just waiting on us.
Just waiting like that's where he goes every day to have coffee.
You know, headers, I come here every morning to have coffee before school.
But yeah, it's, you know, and of course, you know, anytime we're involved in anything like this, we definitely like to have Billy White with us. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, and so that way you can be anticipating it and looking forward to it. Billy has this, some technology he has tapped into that will actually record the spirit world, whatever is coming through the veil from another dimension. It will record the sound and the voices backwards and then play it forwards. And we're really looking forward to what he got tonight, because he recorded the whole time we were out there.
The whole time. Now, let's lay this out for him.
What?
We had to GPS to get out to the cemetery, because none of us remembered how to get out there.
That's right.
So we've got the GPS, and we get halfway down this dirt road, and the GPS says we have arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, okay, end. I mean, we figured by the end of this road, we're going to run into it, right? So we're all yawning, folks, for some reason or another. So I end the GPS trail, and the GPS starts showing us going backwards.
Yeah.
Jason actually took a picture of it on my truck screen.
You got some video, too.
Video? Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
So that was the first weird thing that happened. We get out there, and it's still daylight, so we stood around and talked for a little while, waiting for the sun to go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then we started doing our thing, as Billy's recording, we're trying to roust up the spirits.
Yeah, you really kind of took the lead on that. You basically challenged him to a wrestling match. You just said, hey, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Come on, let's have a word.
I mean, I did. I wanted something.
I'm glad he did, because, I mean, you're standing there and nothing's happened. Just say, hey, is anybody here? Show yourself. I mean,
yeah.
It can't make it any worse.
I mean, if something would have happened, guys, we would have been in a wild scramble to get out of there.
I can tell you that much, because at one point we were in the dark, and Esh goes and pushes a rusty gate, and I about took off like Superman, straight up into the air.
What had happened? I thought I'd heard something kind of walking out toward the wood line.
Yeah, well, I knew I heard something when you did that.
So I walked out there, and I put my hand on the gate and pushed it, and it was rusty, and it made that old creepy rusty gate sound.
Yeah, I'm standing out there nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. And he just starts moving a rusty fan. I was like, man, we have arrived. I'm telling you, but it was, you know, you might say that we might call this episode "The Ghost in the Machine," because we were having some problems with that GPS. Thankfully, we had Billy White there with his technology that taps into the spirit world. And He's got some information here for us. Billy, what do you got? What'd you record?
I don't know.
You don't? What happened?
So Billy's telling us, guys, this is, we knew this didn't work on the way back, so we went to listen back to it. Now, I will assure you, whole time it was recording.
Yes.
It was giving us the indication it was recording.
Yes, it was, every second.
It did not record a single thing.
Yeah, I'm just messing with Billy. I knew that it did not record. But it was very odd because after we left, it recorded. He had used it yesterday and it recorded.
Yeah.
And we saw it visibly recording as we were there. Nothing took. And I'm telling you, if we had some EMF meters, I bet they would have been off the chart. I think we had some type of electromagnetic interference. I'm calling it the ghost in the machine because everything we had was not working. It's like something was saying, get out of here.
It was,
I'm not going to talk to
it you. It was wild. It's weird because we were sending text messages.
Yeah, they were going through.
But they were unrelated to why we were there.
That's true. Mine was to a guy about work tomorrow.
Absolutely. So that was very weird. We didn't see anything. I was hoping I was going to get to wrestle a ghost, but it didn't happen, unfortunately. We did hit a cold patch.
We did.
We were underneath that tree. Folks, it's not cold enough outside tonight if you see your breath when you're breathing. But
we did see
we're all sitting here trying to see our breath as we sit here recording the podcast.
We
did sitting underneath this old, what was that, oak tree or?
It was a cedar tree.
It was a cedar tree.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were just imagining it. Then I saw Billy and I literally saw it. And I thought, well, I'm going to try it. And then I saw my own breath.
Well, as y'all was all standing over at the fence. Mm-hmm. You were still on the outside of the fence. Billy was on the inside of the fence with me. And I'm kind of sitting up probably about, 30 feet away from you on that bench underneath that tree.
Right.
And I felt a cold patch just hit me as I'm sitting there. And that's when I called you over there.
Yeah, that's I started.
And at that point, Billy came over. We started seeing our breath. We were breathing.
Yeah, it felt. The best way I can describe it, I sat down there by you, and my arms went cold, and it was almost like invisible cold rain. It just kind of layered down on you, and then it would go away. Then it would come back.
It was a wet cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a wet cold. Yeah, sure was.
And then we had the teacher. Mr. Jared Aaron said, hey, well, I was underneath this other old tree over here earlier, and it was kind of warmer.
Yeah, he was feeling some, and we went over there, and it was a little bit warmer.
It was
strange.
It was warm underneath that tree, and it was on the opposite sides of the cemetery.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I guess that was the most paranormal, you say, thing that happened on our return to Easley Cemetery.
I would say so. That was the most paranormal, which is typical of some type of spiritual or interdimensional activity changes fluctuations in temperature because
it's a known fact in the paranormal.
Yeah.
Now, Billy, you mentioned, you know, one reason we may not be seeing a whole lot of activity, there's a certain time that these things really ramp up. What time is that, Billy?
It is 3 a.m. So, good, godly, angelic side, darkness side. 3 a.m. is just a high point.
So that's a high point. Is that what they consider the devil's hour, or?
No, well, I've always heard midnight is witching hour, or
the
whatever.
The witching hour, yeah.
But 3 a.m. is like.
Yeah. Is there something about it where it's just the veil is thin at that time, or that's when things are active? Because I know that
when it peaks. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of there's a well-known exorcism. In a movie, a film was made about it, the exorcism of Emily Rose. And in that particular case, the young lady who was possessed died.
Right.
And there was a trial and everything. But they talked about the priest who did the exorcism kept waking up at 3 a.m. And he would...
There's so many examples of that.
Yeah.
It's just... there's no way it can be a coincidence.
Right, right.
Because some people will get woke up in the middle of the night to pray for somebody
mm-hmm.
at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Mm. Like I think the guy, Amityville Horror, he had a certain time. I don't remember exactly if it was 3 a.m.
Yeah.
But something would wake him up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so many examples of that. It's hard to... I heard it, some people may not like him, but I like him. Perry Stone taught on that. It's 3 a.m. something or another. That's all he talks about. He shows all the examples. And
oh, I'd love to hear that.
He thinks that when Jesus came walking on the water, it was around 3 a.m. Because the people in the boat said they thought it was a spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a ghost.
And they would be thinking that's about the time that
yep.
this takes place.
Yep.
Huh.
That's some deep stuff. But
it is.
Anyway.
It would make sense on either plane for us being in the physical plane. We're all usually asleep at 3 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, we live in a three-dimensional world, but recently they have added time as a fourth dimension. Hmm. And so you got to think, if that being the case, depending on your view of time, whether you think of time as maybe in some of the Indian culture, where it's kind of a circle that comes back around, or it's a linear, you know, that there's something there to time that we don't understand.
Right. Well, let's say that we're there like, what, 7:30?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he mentioned it. You know, that time may have may be a better time for us to,
right,
you know, get activity or whatever. But
right.
You know, you mentioned we were living in a fourth dimension. That time was a fourth dimension.
The time, yeah, they consider that some theoretical physicists now consider time to be a fourth dimension.
I was listening to a guy that does spirit box readings. Let's see, trying to find his name here as we speak. I listened to him do a couple recordings. Here's one, Rami Malek.
The actor.
Yeah, the guy that played him. Let's see here. What was that guy's name that done the spirit box recording?
Oh, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. This guy claimed that there was a fifth dimension.
Fifth dimension.
That we were living in.
Okay.
I don't know what he considers the fifth dimension, but guys, I can't find his name. You can look it up on YouTube. Just search Freddie Mercury spirit box recording on YouTube, mm-hmm, and the guy's stuff comes up. I'm getting a bad signal here, and it's not pulling it up. But anyway, he claimed there was a fifth dimension we were living in.
Okay. And that is that the dimension that accesses that realm?
The way he viewed everything is we all have spirit guides, mm-hmm, and that's how he connects with people on the other side through his spirit guides, through his spirit box, you know, recordings. He's claimed to have talked to people like Freddie Mercury, Marilyn Monroe, Nikola Tesla,
okay.
Jesus Christ himself, which that one right there kind of flipped
scary.
Me.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, well, it kind of flipped me off of it. Right. I'm like, yeah, right, you're talking.
You wouldn't expect him to hear nothing like that.
You're talking to Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we can't communicate with Jesus Christ.
Right.
But
it's
usually
not
it's
that much.
Usually it's a
history so far.
Yeah, I've never heard it.
You know, when we're saying a prayer, it's a one-sided conversation.
Yeah.
You ain't got somebody answering you back. It ain't like a telephone call. Hey Jesus, you know, I just wanted to ask for
some blessings
for my buddy over here. You know, Brandon, I'll make sure I send some blessings. It ain't like that.
Usually it's that you get a feeling of a confirmation. You know, there are other ways that, you know, that I guess a spiritual communication more than what you're talking like with a literally audio. Now, some people do say that I heard God speak to me, and I'm sure they have.
That much. I've heard people in war and
oh yeah,
you know, just different scenarios. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. People in the Bible did. I mean, not a whole lot, but they heard an audible voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that much, though.
Well, and there's people that claim to have seen Jesus in certain situations. And
right, the Virgin Mary.
The old story of the daughter that's got an abusive dad that kills her mom, and she witnesses it, and she's behind the couch, and Jesus
says... That's a song.
Yeah, it is a song, but I think it was based off something that really happened.
Yeah.
And Jesus is sitting behind the couch with her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where she says, that's the man that was... In my house, that my parents died. I was hid behind the couch. I had never heard of it.
And it would make sense that a young child would, you know, see something like that. Obviously, we're talking about a song, but, you know, somewhere this has happened.
Yeah.
There have been accounts of it.
The way I see it, God and Jesus can do anything they want to, because who can stop them?
Right.
Not a thing.
I mean, there's some weird things that's happened that, to me, it's just God had to have allowed it.
Yeah,
there's just no. What you said something about the Indians. because mm-hmm. we talked about going up there if it's one of the most haunted places in Walker County or whatever, that what caused that? What happened to kindly, you know, get that situation?
This is something, and I have to, I started thinking after our last investigation, we had Martha Parnell Saloma with us, and Martha has just done all kinds of research on local Native American culture and things of that nature. And of course, Walker County, Alabama is like a lot of deep South states. We had a large, very large representation of Native Americans. According to Martha, and I believe she's probably accurate on this or close to it, it's been basically occupied by some type of civilization for up to 16,000 years that we know of as far as the age of artifacts they found.
Now, are we talking 16,000 years before Christ? Or what are we?
Before today.
Before today.
Yeah,
okay.
Before today. So you know, and that makes sense to me when you look at the timeline and things that they're finding out now about cultures and Native American cultures in North America. But, you know, so you've got this cemetery, a huge area around it has been strip mined. And for those who don't know that much about coal mining, strip mining is when they take typically the topsoil off of the ground and then they dig down for coal.
Mm-hmm.
And it disturbs it, you know, pretty far on down, and then they go back and they fix it or they reclaim it. So you got to think, with that many cultures being in a general area for that many years, how many burial grounds have been disturbed mm-hmm. because of that type of activity? And so it makes me wonder, especially if that cemetery is so known for paranormal activity, maybe it's not necessarily the people that are buried there. There could be all kinds of Indian burial grounds or sacred areas that were disturbed over the decades.
During the strip mining.
Yes.
And obviously they would have went around this cemetery because there's headstones that date back to the 1700s.
Right, they would have had to have. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes you wonder what gets unleashed when you do that.
That's the CD I got.
Could you send that to me?
Sure.
Thank you.
So as you drive out of the cemetery, you can tell it's been strip mined.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've got gates around the outer perimeter of the cemetery that lead to the strip mines.
And that's an older part of as far as settlers, Townley is an older part of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was one of the original areas where the mining started. So it's got a long history of that. And, you know, you're going to, you know, with that type of activity, they can't just stop on every operation and say, oh, wait a second, let's get the folks from the university come in and check this out.
They're going
to, you know, I mean, they just can't, or they won't, or whatever. I would love to talk to someone from some of the different companies and just know what their policy is on that.
Well, like you mentioned when we were talking about this earlier off show, you've got these companies that are out here doing this work, and you've got this middleman foreman that people have come up on these remains,
right?
And they're like, no, these are animals.
These are animals. Keep going,
right?
Because everybody needs their job.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, but that could be a reason, because I don't believe a place is haunted just simply because it is.
Right. No, it's got to be a reason.
Something that happens. Like I was thinking about that church, and I was kind of studying on this today. Something have to have the county bring that on,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I believe.
No, I agree. There's some.
I don't think it just happenstance or whatever.
Right.
But what I was reading today was place where a violent, bloody incident happened,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or especially death, like murder or suicide or multiple deaths.
Right.
Although there's a pattern of that, there's always paranormal activity.
Right. Well, it makes you wonder, a place like Walker County, there has been that type of mining going on for 100 years. In underground mining, you've got to wonder, could we be one of the most haunted places in the country? I mean,
it wouldn't surprise me.
Like you said, 16,000 years before current time.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. That's a
pretty good clip, yeah.
That's a pretty good clip. That's a long time, man. That's a lot of people, a lot of folks who have passed, a lot of people who have been buried, and now where are the graves?
I mean, think 16,000 years, you're going back to a time where they didn't do gravestones.
Right.
They just buried you.
They either buried you or they'd pile rocks on top to keep the animals away.
Right.
One of the two. And, you know, I mean, so who's to say? I mean, it's just...
It is listed as one of the most haunted places in Walker County.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you got to think, it's either, you know, I think to go on with what Billy said, something happened there. It could be the disturbance of burial grounds, or it could be considered sacred ground because maybe the veil between the dimensions is thinner there. And then the Native Americans knew this, there's something about this place. There's some kind of power. There's something strange.
They would know.
They would know. Yeah, they were in tune.
That
much app, more in tune than we are.
The app I just got just for this occasion is called Reverse Play because it records it and you can play it in forward or reverse because we were talking earlier in that TAPS, what's that, Transatlantic Paranormal Society?
Yes.
They said, from information I got years ago, mm-hmm. that these spirits communicate to each other in reverse.
Right.
So I was wanting to hear that recording forward and reverse.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's kind of like on that Netflix show Stranger Things, The Upside Down. You know, the other side.
I remember talking about that.
The other side is the mirror opposite.
I have not watched Stranger Things. I've watched the first couple episodes.
I watched it because I got grandkids kind of.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
You know, young teenagers and
yeah,
it's popular.
Oh yeah, we became.
That's people that age because I don't know if that's because they can, you know, see the people in the movie are close to the same age.
Oh, yeah.
And they
I kind of relate.
Yeah, relate to it.
One of the questions I had, and I think we need to do some deeper research into it. You've got the cemetery out in the middle of nowhere. Was there a church there at some point? Typically, when you have a cemetery, you've got a church.
Yeah.
Close by or on the premises. Is the spiritual activity out there due to the church building not being there anymore?
Well,
could that be another scenario?
Was there a community out there?
Could have been a community out there.
With all of the mining that took place, did eventually people move out or were they bought out? How active was this place as far as human inhabitants?
Be nice to know all that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I do feel like there is spiritual activity out there. We've been out there twice now. We've not got very much in the way of evidence other than the small things, the cold pockets. The first time we did catch some orbs on camera.
We did. We sure did.
I've not went through the pictures from tonight yet, but...
I took several, but I couldn't find anything on mine.
You know, perhaps we... Perhaps we're missing something.
You know, it's possible. It's possible. And that's something that maybe the next step would be to actually take some equipment out there or someone who is considered a medium,
yep.
A sensitive. You know, we're all to a certain degree. You're a little bit more sensitive, say, than me. I think Billy's probably more sensitive than me. Or Jared, but I think different people have different levels of sensitivity to those types of forces.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've got some people that actually see physical embodiments of a spirit.
This ain't nothing to do with tonight, but for some reason it seems like, well, the case that I told you where the girl from Piney with Joel Key's daughter went to a palm reader in Florida when they were down there, and a spirit came back with them.
Yeah, yeah.
But only the baby, the child, could see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they say that children are more sensitive than, say, we are.
Yeah, because they have no, they're just more open because they have no preconceptions.
Uh-huh.
You know, whereas we might be more dismissive. We may see stuff like dismiss it. You know,
well, our minds dismiss it before it even registers that we saw something.
It happens so quickly. You're exactly right. Your brain dismisses it, and it could be also subconsciously you don't want to believe it.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I know I'm that way. I'm like, no thanks.
You know, and we talked as we were driving down there that people that have had instances where they've had something paranormal happen to them, maybe at a certain location or have a dream about a deceased family member even, that just kind of shows something that's going to happen that happens or... Yeah, I lost where I was going there, but
I recovered.
What was that? You recovered.
Yeah, I'm recovery, glad you did. Recovery.
What was that we were saying on the way down there about people that have had encounters? I know what it is. I'm sorry. So how can so many people be wrong?
Oh, there. But yeah, so,
or lying
so,
or whatever.
Right. There, yeah, there's just not. It's just not possible. I mean, the raw numbers of encounters with. From everything from cryptids to paranormal to interdimensional, whatever it is, we don't
know.
UFOs.
I knew the family in Piney Woods about in the mid-70s, I had a UFO experience.
Yes.
And, buddy, it ain't no joke to them.
It affected them.
I guarantee you, they'll tell you real quick like.
Yeah. And that's the thing about it. A lot of people you talk to, they are... very serious about it.
Absolutely.
And some of them are reluctant to even talk about it because they're tired of being made fun of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. They're not all kooks and liars and on drugs and.
Yeah, it's just not possible.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Impossible. Because when you know somebody and you really know them and you know their character, you know, you're not going to just dismiss it.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. I mean, in your mind, you're going to have to be saying, hey, there's something to this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Jason, I would go on out on a limb and say that our investigation night was inconclusive.
I would say it was definitely inconclusive. There was some strange activity. Probably
the coyotes. I forgot about that.
Yes, that was the scariest part.
We're sitting there, guys, in the cemetery. It's pitch black out, and all of a sudden, coyotes start howling.
From two different locations.
From two different locations, from one side of the holler and the other side of the holler.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, just...
That one on that one side of the house, and like they, like getting close.
They were
like
really
in your
close.
Yard. If you're just at your house, and they'd be in your yard.
You want me to try to mimic the coyote?
Can you
give it to us, Jason?
On one side, you had a larger group. It sounded like, and they were like, and then on the other side, you had they were more of a smaller group, but they were trying to be like. Oh, we're bad too, don't
well,
we?
Come see us. Come on over.
Come on over. Bring it. And they're like, what? And then dead silence.
And we never heard them.
That was the creepy part.
We never heard them again.
So we figured either they were making their way to us or something came through and they're like, be quiet. Because we can't take
it. It was like flipping a switch. Yep. Both sides instantaneously went completely quiet.
Which usually people who tell stories about being in wooded areas and everything goes silent like that matches up with a paranormal encounter.
Yes.
Whether it be a Bigfoot.
Yeah, there's a reason that they're...
There's a reason they're going
even
quiet.
Even the crickets.
In their heads, whatever this is, we can't do nothing with it.
Yeah, let's be quiet and hope it doesn't mess with us.
Right. And animals are sensitive to the paranormal.
Animals are, yes. Oh, I was just fixing to go there.
Oh, yeah. It always makes me nervous when I see our cat Banjo looking off in some part of a room where there's nothing and looking up. I'm always like, oh, man, what's he seeing? I hope it's a bug.
A moth.
It's a moth.
Our cat loves moths.
Oh, well, guys, we have one more weekend. The next Sunday is Halloween night.
Yeah. All Hallows Eve.
And we have recently, during this investigation, found out we have a mutual friend that might be a little upset with us that we've not brought him onto the show yet.
He brought that up to me today, and he said, man, why have I never been on an investigation? Adam Aaron. And I said, Adam, we can only handle so many Aarons at once. We got Jared Aaron. So you're going to have to trade places, and now you come, and Jared's got to stay home. But no, I said, buddy, come on, if you want to go, let's go. And he said he had a place, and this will be a structure. So I'm going to talk to him later
We've yet to be in a structure for an investigation.
Yes, we have.
Minus the one that you and Jason went on, Billy, the house.
Yeah,
that,
but we had previous information.
We have no information.
That was real.
That was real as it gets.
That's it. That bore more fruit than any place we've been.
Yeah. I mean, because, we had the picture, which I had, like I said, we talked about this last episode, last October, November.
Yeah.
Campfire tales. Get on your phone and go back to previous episodes to campfire tales if you want to hear us.
Oh, and we even stopped and spoke to some people that lived adjacent. They told us
a little
bit of history.
They confirmed a family that lived there.
Yes.
So we're going to take Adam with us on the next investigation.
Yes.
Which we'll conclude with what I'm assuming campfire tales too.
This is going to be a big one.
It's a good name.
Yeah, campfire tales too.
We really get into this time of year with our shows. We enjoy these paranormal investigations. Whether we find evidence or not, it's enjoyment going out there and trying.
It is. We have fun with it. And we always have just great folks. I mean, Billy has been on a lot of shows, and we have a good time, man, that we just enjoy laughing and talking about
just
things.
Talking and hanging out.
Yeah, just talking and hanging out. And then, Jared and Martha and the wealth of knowledge she has on certain topics. I'm sure Adam will be fun.
Adam's a clown anyway, so it's going to be fun.
He'll be fun no matter where you're at.
Oh, no, yeah, exactly. So, and we've had other people who have inquired that in the future maybe we'd like for them to go.
Right, your friends from Birmingham.
That's up and coming eventually, yeah.
Well, guys, we'll call it an evening tonight. It's been a long one. We've been on investigation. We recorded an episode. We're really gearing up for this last investigation this coming weekend. Sunday, All Hallows Eve. I'm excited about it.
I am too. I really think, if nothing else, we're going to have a good time. And we may come across something.
Absolutely. And it being on Halloween, that's a... But
that's when the veil's supposed to be.
There could be some spiritual significance. It's on a Sunday.
Halloween is like a sacred day to people in witchcraft. And
oh yeah, right. Big time. Big
it is on a Sunday though. I mean, there may be a mixed veil there.
Maybe
how many prayers goes up?
That's true.
The Bible says prayer and fasting doesn't count.
It availeth much.
It moves the hands of God. Yeah,
it does.
Right.
Availeth much. Yeah. That's when you.
That's a good question. I don't know, but
that is a good. I have thought.
I've always read that if there's not a full moon on Halloween night, the full moon closest to Halloween or All Hallows Eve is when they do their spells and incantations.
Well, we just experienced that this past Wednesday was the first day of the full moon.
Okay.
The 20th. Was the first day of the full moon.
I noticed it was really, really pretty. And it was big.
Well, guys, we're gonna close off, Jason.
That sounded crazy.
Well, yeah.
I noticed it was really pretty and big. It is the moon. What could it be? Is that? What are you talking about?
Sometimes it can appear larger than others.
Sometimes it can appear larger.
Well, guys, we're going to close off. We'll talk to y'all next week with our last investigation. Jason, you got anything on closing?
Man, I had a great time, and I just want to thank Billy for going. I want to thank Jared, Aaron for going.
The beautiful footage he got with his drone.
The footage was fantastic, and I just, man, I want to encourage people to be cautious with this type of stuff, but, it's an interesting thing to look at and to try to understand. We try to approach it from every angle that's out there.
Billy, you got anything in closing?
Yeah, I always take a biblical perspective. Some people may not agree with that or like that, and I get that. But that's just the way I am. And, if you'll read in the New Testament, there's spirits all through there.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus dealt with spirits. The Bible, matter of fact, says that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities, spiritual wickedness.
Yeah, and absolutely. Well, and, it goes all the way through the New Testament and Old Testament.
Yep, I know Acts and Old Testament, Witch of Endor had familiar spirits, which, if you, like I said before, if you go back and listen to Campfire Tales, It was a witch's mm-hmm. curse that brought all that on. And the lady even called her by name, which was Miss Freeman.
That's right. Miss Freeman, that's right.
Yep.
All right, guys. We'll see y'all next week.